Now, I'm sure some of you are like, that guy is weird. But there's something about this shirt, right, that's really special. Right? This is the shirt that I played out. Adam Sandler's sweat may still be on this. Right? Right? There's something. It's a shirt. It's just cotton. And it's not much more cotton at that after 14 years. But there's still something about it. There's still something about the essence of someone. Right? There's a reason why we can sell George Clooney's toothbrush for $58,000, right? We believe in the essence of things. Right? So that's my Adam Sandler shirt. I'll have to keep that safe for all of you who are going to try and take that later on. I have another thing here. This one's even more personal to me. So Ryan got his first haircut a couple months ago, and I have his locks of hair here. Now, I promise you, if I were to give this to his grandparents, right, they wouldn't be like, well, gosh darn it, it's hair. What am I going to do with that? Right? There's something really important about the locks of hair. Right? There's something in them. There's some essence of them that is very important. Right? So even though this technically has no value, right, it's got immense value to the ones who choose to see it as such. Right? There's something of essence there. So, and that's what this book talks about, this How Pleasure Works book, essentially kind of reframes what we think of as joy and pleasure. What do we think of as meaning, right? We find our essence there. Now, those are some funny examples. But you know what? We have this conversation all over the place. At my hospital, I have this conversation all the time. If you're a mother or a father and you've lost a child or you've miscarried, are you still a mom? Are you still a dad? Does our culture allow you to be a mom and be a dad still? Right? There's incredible essence there, isn't there? Right? Even though that thing may not be there anymore, right? That essence is still there. You are something different. Right? That is the importance of thinking about essence. Right? It's kind of about identity. So what do you write then, if we're going to switch gears here, what do you write to people who are really struggling? Right? We have been thinking about 1 Peter now for 3 or 4 weeks. And as Steve mentioned in our opening conversation, he talked about how these are the elect exiles. Right? How these are the people who have been dispersed, who may be poor, maybe the ones who are not on the top of the food chain. Right? These are people who feel not persecuted, but alienated, marginalized. What do you write, if you're Peter, to these people? What do you write that really changes what they feel? I think what Peter is doing here is he is saying, I actually believe your essence is different. What you are is not what you think you are. Right? That's the message for Peter to convey to these elect exiles. What you are is not what you think you are. Right? Now, how does Peter do that in this passage? Well, he has a ton of scriptural allusions. Right? He says, you are part of something much bigger, much longer, much more historical, much greater than what you think. In this passage that Keyshawn read, right, he read about taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34. Living stones, Isaiah 28. The stone rejected, Isaiah 8. A chosen race, Isaiah 43. God's own people, Exodus 19. Moving from darkness to light, Isaiah 43. A people shown mercy, Hosea 1. The scriptural allusions are all over this passage. Right? These people would probably not know much about the Old Testament per se. They wouldn't know much. But there are some pretty strong allusions here to the scriptural story. Right? So what is Peter doing? He's saying your essence is actually in God's people. Right? Your essence is in that long heralded story. The story that started way back at the day that God created this world. These people, these elect people, these believers who are alienated, isolated. Something that I'm sure many of you also feel in here. The message to those people is that you're not alone. In fact, you weren't way before you existed, right? There were people who were living this story. There were people who were living the marginalized, isolated, alienated story. So too the message for us. You too have an essence. You too have a part of you that existed long before you. Right? The moment that you went down into the waters, the moment that you walked into the doors of a church, is the moment that you became part of something way deeper than yourself. You became part of the people of God. A people of God who was chosen long ago to walk with God, chosen to be His favorite people, chosen to be His chosen ones. That's what the language says. You are those people. Now, if you're me, you are very familiar with this kind of story and this kind of play. Some of you may know, I am not born and raised Church of Christ. In fact, I had zero history with it before I was 17 years old. And you know, the Church of Christ, we don't like to toot our horn at all. But when I became Church of Christ, all of a sudden I had to accept this whole history about us, which can be good and bad. Right? When I became Church of Christ, I all of a sudden had this history that I had to get in touch with. Right? The essence of my Christian faith also touched another essence, the Church of Christ. Right? There was something about a cappella, and there was something about the way that we did communion every week. There was something about those things and the way that people have done it years before me in our Church of Christ heritage. There was some essence there that mattered. Now, I really didn't care about that the first number of years that I was attended a Church of Christ, right? I didn't think much of it. I didn't care much for it. But in times of need, right, in times where I really needed it, I could draw on that, right? And that's kind of what this letter is doing for these exiles, for these people who need the encouragement. It's that little message that says, you have something that you can draw on. You have a history that you can draw on. You have a gospel message, a God who truly, truly loves you. God sees differently. God reads a different essence into you. Now, these days, I find that our culture likes to tell all sorts of stories about our essence. And I think in a lot of ways, the culture has sort of corrupted the way that we think about our Christian essence. Right? We want to talk about our history in the Declaration of Independence more than we want to talk about our history in the people of Israel. Right? We want to talk about our essence being in the Great Awakening or a world war more than we want to talk about our history to the people of God. Right? We want to talk about these things that are more important in our culture's perspective, our American history or our racial heritage or our ethnic heritage or any number of things before we will talk about being part of the people of God. And that is a little bit of a travesty to me. We miss the essence of who we are. Right? Now, in this passage, Peter takes it a step further. You are not only, in essence, the people of God. You are, in essence, the people of Jesus. Right? You are, in essence, the people who, just like Jesus, are alienated and isolated, feeling beaten, feeling persecuted, feeling on the margins. You are just like Him. That's your essence. And even then, He takes it a step farther as He talks about darkness to light. You are a people who have seen this marvelous movement from darkness to light. You have been saved. It's Jesus. You are a people whose essence at your core is the Jesus who loves you, who showed you great mercy. That is your essence. But you know, I'll take it a step further myself. When in this scripture we hear Peter say, talk about the people as having experienced this movement from darkness to light, what he's saying is you've experienced resurrection. Right? What he is trying to persuade them of is that even in their difficult circumstances, even in their hard places, somehow they have experienced the resurrection. And that the resurrection is part of their essence as well. You know, as Steve talked to us the first week about 1 Peter, he talked to us about the resurrection and resurrection practices. In this passage, we get to read a ton of different resurrection passages, or practices, sorry. Listed out, come to Him, prayer. Be built into a spiritual house. Let go. Find your role. Offer spiritual sacrifices. Giving something up. Proclaiming. Sharing the stories of faith. Sharing your story of faith. And receiving mercy. Seeing grace all around you. I wonder how often we do these kinds of resurrection practices. How often do we come to Him in prayer? How often? I will stand up here and I will tell you, I claim the title of minister, right, for a hospital, and I'll tell you that I struggle coming to God in prayer. It's not easy. Right? I'm told that I should either wake up early to get that time in, and I try and wake up early, and then Ryan is right there in my face in the morning, saying, I want time, Daddy. Right? Maybe I should stay up later, and I get tired. Right? Maybe I should come to church, right? And I should go and use the intercessory prayer time that I actually have, except, man, it would mean that I have to get up and acknowledge something that I need prayer for, and I would rather believe that I don't need prayer for anything, because I got my ducks in a row, right? Maybe we need to humble ourselves to come to God in prayer. At least I do. Be built into a spiritual house. You this morning, I will point out, things can be a little chaotic when you're planning a service, right? But there's part of letting go. Would you let God build you into a spiritual house and not let yourself build the spiritual house so that it's just your way and just the way you like it and just your preferences? Would you allow God, would you allow Jesus to build the spiritual house in this place? Would you let go and find your role amongst this church? Right? Would you let yourself be resurrection in that way? Offer spiritual sacrifices. We just practiced a Lenten season in which we practiced giving something up or maybe taking something on. Right? A way in which we can offer something of our life. Way too often, I have heard recently, right, you're not building that on my dime, right? Tax conversations, right? Or, you're not doing that with my stuff, right? My kids struggle with sharing all the time, right? Offering spiritual sacrifices is a great feat for them. Right? What will you be willing to let go of? Because I'll tell you, our Jesus was willing to let go of a bunch, including his own life. So what are you hanging on to? Proclaiming. Sharing the stories. You know, when I get up here and I tell you about stories from the hospital, right, I am not telling you stories so that you can feel depressed or so you can feel sad. I'm not telling you stories to make you have a nice feel-good moment. Right? I am proclaiming the story of a God who is still working, a God who once died but was raised and still is doing so even in the hospital where pain and hurt exists. When we get up here and we do testimonies, right, we do not tell testimonies to just make you feel good. We do not tell testimonies to make us feel okay. We tell them because God is alive and doing that. And He is doing it over and over again, even when pain and hurt and isolation and alienation exist. In the midst of that, we still proclaim that our God is alive and our God is doing something. Right? And because He has been doing something. That's the connection with 1 Peter. And we receive mercy. Once you were a people who had no mercy, but now you do. As a resurrection practice, can you receive mercy? You know, it's one of the reasons why at our youth retreat, and I'll bring the jar out again for you stunningly average folk, that is why we have them fill out these jars. Why? To receive the mercy from one another. The words that are powerful. You see those yellow cards around you? Same kind of function, right? Will you even write a card to someone, allow them to receive the mercy of a compliment, of a thank you, of an encouraging word, right? Something as simple as that is an offer of God's mercy. And the reception of that card, the reception of these rocks or shells that have positive words on them, they are signs that we can receive mercy. We are people who love to give mercy. We love to be at the top of the food chain. We love to be the ones in power who say, you're clear, right? I can clear you. And in reality, it is God in this passage who says, no, it is me who gave you mercy. Your life, like the life of Israel, constantly going astray, constantly thinking about yourself, including myself in this, constantly thinking about yourself, constantly being inward. I gave you mercy. I forgave you. I showed immense love to you as a people. Right? We in this church have received mercy. As individuals, yes, but in the honor of 1 Peter, we have received it as a people. As a church, we have received this wonderful gift of mercy. We have lots of opportunities to take it, but do we? Right? Sometimes, living out our resurrection practices, living out our essence of Jesus in us requires us to actually get up and move. Requires us to get up and respond to the call of a God who gave you mercy. Today, we have one opportunity, one very simple opportunity to do that. I know some of you are going to be frustrated by it. We have communion at the sides, right? God gave you a gift of mercy. And we got to get up and move to the table. He's called you. He's called you to come and find your essence at that table. Your essence in the one who died and was raised again. That is one opportunity for us. All right, so when you get up and you have to walk yourselves to the table today, right? I want that to be a positive thing. I want you to be able to think about in every step and as you see the people in line, that you are all responding, receiving God's mercy. It is one way for you to have a resurrection in your life. Right? One way for you to live out the essence of Jesus in you. I've shared a number of ways, right? The cards, the way in which we talk to one another, all of those things are resurrection practices in which we find the essence of Jesus in us. So I'm going to ask our communion servers to get up and go to the tables. If you're doing the offering, you can sit down. It's okay. Today, I want you to think about all of the ways in which you can think of the essence of Jesus in you. My goal for you is to find in your life resurrection somewhere. Find in your life the fingerprints of Jesus on you and live them out. Not because it's just now, and that's just what I'm telling you to do, but because God has been doing it so long, giving mercy, saving people, showing His grace for years and years and years. And if you don't open your eyes, if you don't willingly look for His fingerprints all over you, all over this people, you will miss what He is doing now. And I don't want that for you. So, Caleb, will you lead us in song? And we'll... Is it not communion time? Did I miss it completely? Okay, I'm good. See, I am so confused. Receiving grace and receiving mercy. Okay? So, at this time, we will have some... I'm going to pray. Wow, I am terrible, guys.
It's okay.
It's okay. I'm going to take a deep breath. Amen. I'm going to take a deep breath, and we're just going to do our communion. Okay? Let me pray. God, I am grateful for Jesus. I am grateful for the story that You have shown in Your people from day one to now. You've done it with love and grace and mercy every step of the way. God, at our recent teen retreat, we looked at all the places in which You worked around, through, against, with water, and we saw grace and we saw love all over it. We saw the ways in which You have acted with Your people to love them, to show mercy, to be the one who is their essence. God, as we take this communion, I ask that we participate in this story, that You call us, that You hook our hearts to You, to know that we are more than just ourselves, that we are You, that You are in us and You are working through us as You have prophets, kings, slaves, poor, rich, just like You've done it through many before. God, as we get up and we take in this communion, we pray for Your life, the life of Jesus, to run through it and to run through us, to know that we are of His essence. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
It trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age You stand, and time is in His hands, beginning and great is our God. Blessed Jesus, come to me, soothe my soul with rays of peace. As I look to you alone, fill me with your love. Mountains high or valleys low, you will never let me go. By your fountain, let me drink, fill my thirsty soul. Glorious, marvelous, grace that rescued me. Holy, worthy is the Lamb who died for me. Blessed Jesus, come to me as I fall down at your feet. Let me touch your nail-scarred hands, Jesus, I would see. Glorious, marvelous, grace that rescued me. Holy, worthy is the Lamb who died for me.
Can I have those who will be collecting the offering come forward? This morning, as our servers pass around our collection plate, which is for offerings made by members of this congregation, and also all of the cards that were mentioned earlier, the encouragement cards and your attendance cards, if you can drop those in the plate as they go around. And we will be singing a hymn as the plates circulate, and afterwards Taylor will come forward and pray a prayer of thanksgiving over the offering that's received.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, here I raise my Ebenezer, Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Taylor. I'll be saying a prayer of thanksgiving. Dear God, thank you for the money that has been given. Please bless it and use it in this place. Take care of people with it, because we offer it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. One thing that is not on our family matters, or not on the slides, is the memorial service for Joan Cunningham. It is in your bulletin. It will be this Saturday, May 20th at 11. If you would like to help with the refreshments or any other type of resources, please see Joe Sandifer today, or just get a hold of her as soon as you can. Again, this will be for Joan Service's memorial service, which is this Saturday, May 20th. Can we go to the next slide? There will be no care groups tonight. Cafe Grace will meet on Wednesday. Doors open at 6. A light dinner will be served. We have a kids and teen class at 6:30, and the adult class will meet at 7. There will be a baby shower for Ashley Gibbs. Come and celebrate with us on Sunday. It's Sunday, May 21st. That says, just look on this. But it's Sunday, May 21st at 2 p.m. She is registered at Target. Her and D'Amico are expecting a girl. And so please contact Chelsea Sargent if you have any questions. There will be the graduation / end of school Sunday will be Sunday, May 28th. Please see Steve Sargent if you are graduating with a high school diploma or higher. We'd love to celebrate you. Also, there will be a potluck lunch after class. And then one more announcement is for Vacation Bible School. It's early, but when you get Lucy Bell and Mikey on a team together, for some reason they want to start planning early. I told them that's not really a concept we're that familiar with, but they insisted. It will be the week of July 24th. So this is Vacation Bible School, the week of July 24th. They will be focusing on compassion and knowing who our neighbor is and loving our neighbor, and they would love some volunteers. Obviously, we don't have anything specific right now, but if you know that you have an idea for maybe a craft that would have to do with loving thy neighbor or showing compassion to others, please share that with them. If you have items you'd like to donate or other types of resources, or would just like to help during that time of July the 24th, that week. Again, please see Mikey or Lucy, and they can kind of direct you from there. Today's classes in room 101, we have the letter of James, and the library, survey of the Bible, here in the auditorium, Hebrews, upstairs, eyewitnesses to Jesus, and in the communion room, worship with ASL. Thank you.
before I close us today, I do want to make piece of gratitude, or share one piece of gratitude. For the youth retreat this past weekend, for the youth retreat this past weekend, I am super grateful for all the support and effort that was given from you as church members, your prayers. I'm so grateful for all the teens that were there. But last week, I did not mention the adults who were with us on the retreat. And they are a critical part of what we do, right? Obviously, you need people planning retreats, and you need people attending them. But you also need people who are helping to coordinate and being the glue for everything. And so Josh and Andrea Day, who are over here in the corner here, were with us the entire weekend, and were fantastic. And please give them a hand. Thank you. It is a joy to serve amongst wonderful people, and Josh and Andrea were wonderful servants with us. So I will read 1 Peter 2, a verse from it again. As we think about our essence, I want you to think about this last verse.